Hello and welcome to Ex-Tumblr Girls, the podcast hosted by two ex-Tumblr girls turned modern Tumblr women. I'm your host, Tori.
I'm your host, Carly.
Let's talk about Tumblr.
Hey.
Hello. I'm starting this with something I forgot to tell you. I never posted on Instagram about the last episode.
Oh my God. That's fine.
I
I don't think
forgot.
our listeners expect consistency on social media at this
No,
point.
s the honestly, I never post on the Instagram the day of, so I'll post something about last time's episode tonight or something, but I generally am posting on like a 1 week delay. However, I love getting DMs on the Instagram and texts from friends when they listen to it day of because they get our Spotify notifications.
I
You
love
guys are the
that.
real G's. I like getting a DM on a Friday night being like, love the episode today, Queens. Oh, makes my fucking day.
I love that. Yeah, I also have us on notifications, even though I don't listen to them anymore. Like I guess I
Well,
used to, but like I'm
I
not that
also
obsessed with
did.
myself, only a little bit.
I only listened to our episodes when we first started, honestly, so I could check the audio and like see if I'd fucked anything up. And then I had a friend tell me that like our audio was sounding weird on certain speakers, but I think now that we're working on Zoom and I figured out my mic situation, I think we've sounded a lot cleaner.
That's good. I wouldn't know. But no complaints from the people that I know that listen. So I guess we're good.
I was dead when you thought that your boyfriend was on the phone with me in the shower because
Oh
he
my
was
God.
listening to the episode.
Yeah, because we just got a new shower speaker that's really, really nice. And it's so crisp. And it literally sounds like that person is there with you.
That is so funny. You thought I was like rehashing the
Yeah.
episode with him.
Well, it was like the chit chat section. So I was like, are you guys
Oh,
just
got it,
chatting
got
right now? Like, just
it.
catching up?
That would be so funny.
I went to Canada this weekend. We did karaoke, we did poutine. I
Ah.
thrifted some really nice stuff. The Canada thrift stores are on another level. So if we have any Canadian listeners, I'm very jealous. At least in the Toronto area. Maybe it's because there are like, more than six people in Toronto. It's actually changing. Like, this is the second time I've been to Toronto. And it is changing my mind on big cities and whether or not I want to live in one in the future. Just the public transit there is on another level. There's trains, there's subways, there's buses, there's tram cars, and you could pretty much get wherever you want really fast. And on the street that we did karaoke, there were like probably 30 other karaoke places just on this one street. It was
Oh my
just lined
God.
with karaoke bars. The place we went to was a little sketchy. It was like down in a basement, and the
Oh, as
bar
the
was
best
just
are.
the bar was just one guy and a table. But I had like four shots because you can't do karaoke sober. Like you really
No.
can't. But I had like four shots and then soju. So it was fun though.
I have yet to find a good karaoke bar. In Philly, I went to one once and just wasn't obsessed with the vibe.
Well, I think that they are really big in Toronto because there's a really large Korean population. That's my guess. And we were in Koreatown.
Yeah,
So,
I think there are some in Chinatown in Philly, but I wasn't sure if they were like the rent-a-room ones because I want to go to a karaoke bar. Like where there's
yeah.
other people and a stage and everyone's drunk and there's a selection book. I don't want to be in a private room.
Yeah, we were in a private room and it was just YouTube, but okay. I feel like that was good for my first karaoke experience. Also, when you're at a bar, like you have to fight for a chance to sing. And I didn't really know any of these people except for the one friend that invited me. And that was, that was out of my comfort zone enough. Like if I was with in a group of friends, I wouldn't have needed to be drunk. Like I really wouldn't have. The
But
only other thing that I've been up to in the past 2 weeks is watching Blue Eye Samurai, which I have done twice already.
oh my God, you've the whole thing?
Yes. Because I watched it with my friend in Canada too.
Is it
It's
just like one season?
it's just one season. A second season is coming, and it's a Netflix show, which is a huge surprise. And probably a third season is not good. I'm like already preparing myself for the possibility that it will get canceled, but it is amazing. Possibly my new favorite show, or definitely up there. It's amazing, and it's really a really nice animation style. I love it, and I want to recommend it to everybody I know.
I don't really watch a lot of animated content, but I trust your recommendations on animated. You have a very good sense of what
I
is good in
have
that realm.
standards for animation, and it's very beautiful. So I wouldn't like that's the thing that holds me back from watching a lot of animation is if the art just isn't up to my standards, I have a hard time putting up with it.
Like when you showed me Love and Robots and we watched, was all of that show animated?
I think so, but they had different. It was kind of like Black Mirror, where it's like a creature of the week type of thing, but they also had different animation studios doing every episode.
Yeah, we watched one of that together and I was into that. But oh, speaking of Black Mirror, I want to rewatch that. We'll do a whole episode one day when I do
We
my full
gotta.
rewatch. I'm still pushing through that German sci-fi show, except I just moved on to season three, which is the final season, and it's gotten so much more fucking confusing
Oh,
that
God.
I'm like struggling to follow it. And on top of that, some of the subtitles are not correct, which I know because I speak German. Like, I have the subtitles on because I'm not fluent, but like,
Yeah.
I know enough basic German and like conversational German to know when some of the subtitles are completely incorrect. And
Yeah.
I'm like, am I losing details here on
You
parts
probably are.
that like aren't
Even,
exact translations or like aren't correct translations that like maybe I should be getting an extra detail or like implication?
yeah. Well, even with English shows, they don't get the
That's
subtitles
true.
right. So,
No, yeah. So it's been like, there's just been a couple moments where I've been like, I feel like maybe they said something else right then. And like, maybe I'm missing some like implied detail that came with the language.
yeah.
I'm gonna finish it, but I did
Maybe you just have
start.
to watch like an explainer video after.
Yeah, probably. I do
Me
that
too.
with everything anyway. Literally exposing myself. I love watching blank ending explained.
I
Even when
swear,
the
we
ending.
have media literacy skills. It's just nice to have somebody else explain it to you and confirm all your theories.
It is fun to watch the ending explained and make sure that you got all the symbolism.
True, true.
But also, sometimes I watch a movie and
Yeah.
I'm like, was that supposed to make me feel something? And then I look up the ending explained and I'm like, oh, it's just not as great as
Just
everyone
not
said it was.
that
I
good.
forget what I watched recently. Oh, I watched The Menu, that movie where
Love.
they go to like a super fancy experience and it's like they're the food. Except that wasn't it. And it was supposed to be a class commentary and it just didn't really hit. And then I listened to a podcast on it and the whole podcast was like, yeah, it's just not hitting. And I was like, thank God. I love when I'm right about a movie.
Yeah, I saw that one in theaters and I was like, yeah, I thought it was entertaining.
It
I
was
love Anya
fine. It just
Taylor-Joy,
like,
so.
right, the acting was good for the most part. But like the whole end, I was just like, not. I was like, well,
Yeah.
I'm not taken. Like, I'm not suddenly radicalized against the upper
Yeah.
class. What I have been watching, though, is K-pop survival shows on YouTube because I started stanning a new group. They're not
Love.
new, but they're actually not even new to me. I've known about them since their rookie days. Like, when they debuted, I listened to their like first song ever, and I remember watching dance practices of it with my friends. So like I've known about them. I just haven't actively listened to them until now. So ATEEZ is now on my roster
No.
and I am consuming the content. I was literally like on my couch watching fan cams before work this morning. Like I'm unwell. So
Love that
rest
though.
assured, when I do my K-pop episode, ATEEZ will be heavily mentioned because I'm not even kidding. I think I listened to their song Bouncy like at least 7 or 8 times today. I just listened to it on loop.
Yeah,
It's
I
so
love when you
good.
find a song like that.
Yes.
I'm back to listening to Fiona Apple mainly.
Okay.
I found my balance. Like I still feel like K-pop is best for in the car.
Yes.
And when, especially when I'm painting, like I need something to keep me like fast and not like, because if I'm listening to Fiona Apple while I'm painting, I will get distracted and just start thinking about Fiona Apple. So, but I'm finding a balance finally.
Okay. Well, rest assured, I will be gushing on K-pop soon, listeners. And my only other news is that I interviewed Eliza McLam
Yay.
and the interview went live a couple days ago. I freelance for a magazine called Pleaser, which is a super cool by fans for fans online and print publication. We had Brittany Broski on the cover of the last edition, and
Ooh.
I just found out who's going to be on the cover of the next one, but it's top secret. And I'm just like, I love them so much. I've gotten to interview now two singers that I really love, and I have a couple more interviews lined up for the months to come. I
Love.
love being a music. I actually feel like I'm a music journalist. I'm like, wow, wait,
Which
it's
is like
real.
your
It
dream.
is my dream. It is real. So I am now a podcaster and a music journalist. All the boxes are checked. I can die happy. That's my update for the week.
Love. So, a little intro into our episode for today. I want to talk about this book that I've been reading. I did finish it, and I had already read the first chapter for a class called Ideation and Series that I took in college.
This class was revolutionary. I
I know,
feel
like,
like for you, and then through transitive property, I feel like I learned a lot.
it was an amazing course, and like my professor, it was her first time teaching that class, and I think that was her first time or her last time teaching it.
Oh my God.
'Cause she was a adjunct and she hated RIT, so I think she just
Well.
same. But the book is called Art and Fear: Observations on the Perils and Rewards of Art Making by David Bales and Ted Orland. So this book inspired a lot of this episode, which is about art on social media. And I'm an artist, you're a writer, but you post like you never really used like Instagram or anything for writing mainly. Correct
No.
me if I'm wrong.
Not mainly. No. I'll post a poem once in a while.
There was a time where I was really trying to build my art Instagram. I haven't posted in a while, but okay, it was published in 2001 originally, so it doesn't really talk about social media at all or really the internet, but it's kind of amazing reading it and realizing that if they had done like another edition and edited it with like commentary on social media, they actually wouldn't have needed to change that much because they had already kind of laid the groundwork. And so that's what we're going to be doing on this episode because I think that social media is a curse.
And
And
you're not wrong.
artists, I think, face the brunt of social media's downfalls, especially since artists that, especially on Instagram, are leaving the platform at an alarming rates. And a lot of them are going to TikTok, but for the most part, from what I gathered from artists that I talked to, artists online, is that everybody is really fucking fed up with social media and the algorithms and everything like that.
Oh, the
But the
algorithm.
algorithms.
The fact that like, maybe like 3, 4 years ago was not a thing that we said often. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes people would say, like, oh, my Instagram algorithm fed me, blah, blah, blah. My YouTube algorithm fed me. But like, I don't feel like I ever said it more than a handful of times in my whole life before TikTok. And then all of a sudden, 2020 happened, and like the algorithm became like a person,
Yeah.
like a fixture in my life that I am addicted to.
Yeah. I think TikTok really is what changed a lot of social media's like approach
It
to
changed
giving
the
us
whole
content.
landscape.
And we'll get to it, don't you worry. But first, I wanted to talk about artists specifically because I think when we think about art on Instagram, at least I think the average person maybe doesn't think about the actual artists, specifically the average artist, because really most artists are ordinary. Most artists don't have like thousands and thousands of followers on Instagram or TikTok or whatever. And a lot of artists don't even post on Instagram or any social media like me. Like I haven't posted any of my recent art. And I think that even if you aren't on social media as an artist, it is still going to affect how you see yourself and how you make art. So let's get into it.
I feel like when I think about artists on social media, the like first people that come to mind are people that make really viral work. And that's not necessarily the people who are like really skilled or really talented or like their full-time job is being a fine artist or people who like put a lot of emotion into their work. I do occasionally get videos of people making like a really thought out piece that they're spending a lot of time on. But I feel like, and I'm sure you'll get into this, but I feel like social media has just encouraged people to make art really quickly so that they can make more and more content out of it. And so, like, the most popular art is art that can be posted in a new update every single day with a
Yeah.
noticeable difference that a follower can, like, get a dopamine hit from. I'm thinking specifically about, and this is not any shade to this girl because I don't think she's doing anything wrong, but this girl made a painting, well, a canvas where she painted like just 12 different circular objects. And now she's making more and more of them. And people are like, I want to buy this as a print. And it's like 12 red circles. So one's like a red pool ball, one's like a Coke bottle cap, right?
I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And it's cute. It is like it's fun. I think she's putting time into it. Like I said, I have nothing against what she's doing, and inherently I think she's doing absolutely nothing wrong. But I think like the way that that kind of content is influencing the average viewer is like kind of diluting people's value of how long art takes and like how much goes into it.
Yeah. And that's the algorithm's problem because Instagram wants you to post like one or two times a day and then multiple times on your story. And then Reels is the new big thing, which I'll get into later after when we talk about how specific social media platforms impact artists. But the two kind of different questions I have about artists is how social media affects how we see them and how they see themselves. And how social media affects how artists create art. Because I do think they're kind of two sides of the same coin. But how we see artists is now I think most people would say content creator, especially since the art that does get posted is not really what you would see like in a museum or a gallery. It kind of feels more like content, maybe because it's simple, it's more design rather than conceptual. And it's being produced so quickly, like content is produced. And that's really not how most artists work. Most artists can't produce something every day. Also, how the average person sees artists is they see them as these super productive people. And this also is exacerbated by AI art generators, which I know is like a really common like thing to talk about now, but I think it is relevant to this episode because, I mean, I don't think any of our listeners will be surprised by my point of view on AI art, which is that it's stolen art. It's not art at
Yeah.
all. But also, like, it's so easy to search for whatever you want to see. You know, you look up, like, I don't know, Laurel painters or something, and you'll be able to find anything you want. And it kind of stops us from seeing artists as people that can kind of, you know, make new things, like it's change their style. Now it's like, well, you have a specific brand, you have a specific, you know, medium that you work with because you have to, you know, work the algorithm, and the algorithm doesn't like inconsistency. And none of this is really great for like how most artists work if social media weren't part of the equation.
Can I just interject? This is
Yeah.
tangential to the AI art thing. I saw something that absolutely like broke my soul into pieces. That I was reading an article about AI art, I think, or something on Tumblr, maybe. I just conflate articles with Tumblr posts now. That's how
Yeah.
misinformed I am these days. But it was a take on AI art, and someone was saying that some person online posted that they used an AI art generator to complete Keith Haring's uncompleted painting.
No.
And I was like, they were
No.
like, this is what it would look like if he had finished it. And I was like, you fucking idiots.
They fucked it up.
They were like, I completed it. And
He
I was like, you're no.
would kill you on the spot.
I literally was like, I had never before felt like I know that AI art is stolen. I know that it's bad for the artists. I know that it's reprehensible to like call their work your own when you've just written a prompt that's aggregated hundreds of thousands of hours of somebody else's work. But I was like, this is sinister to me
Yeah.
to quote unquote complete a piece that was, I'm not going to get into the meaning of that painting, but to use an AI generator to quote unquote complete Keith Haring's incomplete paint. Oh my God, I was like sick. And I just
No,
knew you
that's
would
fucked
also
up.
be upset.
That is really fucked up. And that just further underlines what I was saying about how we see artists.
Right, like you see an incomplete painting and you're like, oh, he didn't get to finish it. It's like, babe, have
And I
you
can
thought
do
about
that.
why?
Like, the reason why I didn't, this was kind of the only thing I had about AI art generators because I knew that if we got on it, we would not get off.
Okay, we'll get
Because
off it. We'll get off
I
it.
just like social media, like everything I'm saying about how social media affects how we see artists and art, you could put AI art generators like in place of social media and it probably will do the same
Yeah,
thing.
that's
Because
true.
it's that quick, you know, right at your fingers, super easy, doesn't put any actual work into like what art really should be.
Yeah, and devalues the people who created the art that trained the bot.
Yeah. And then the last point I have about how we see artists is about competition, because competition and comparison have kind of always been a part of art. Like, I don't think that that's something that's new. It's just now on social media, you can compare yourself so easily since there's pretty much any type of art that you want to find, you can find. And so in Art and Fear, they talk about how other people's art should have very little influence on your own art. And this is not to say that you can't be inspired by art, but I mean, if you, and I feel like this when I go on Pinterest and I'm just looking through art and it's like you can see 100 different pieces of art a minute or a second, really. And that just is not a good way to get inspiration. Like
That's so true.
we should be getting inspiration from like real life things and like, you know, other forms of art. But if you are a visual artist and, you know, you're just scrolling through Instagram trying to find inspiration, that's truly not how it works. And they talk about this in the book. But what they say is like, connection and community are really important for artists, and it always has been that way. But on social media, it's this like fake community that really is just comparison and competition. And that's kind of what's replacing the community that people are hoping to get out of social media, but really aren't.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting that I'd never thought of how like being able to see to Google like a type of art and then just see thousands of images of completed, like arguably well done, or like what you might perceive as is like perfect or like emblematic of that style, like see it instantly without really having to go seek it out. And then it's just like a gallery of it is in front of you.
Yeah.
And of course you feel so small. You're like, there's already 5
yeah.
million of this exact thing out there. Why would I contribute it to it?
Yeah.
And
I actually
as
saw
we know, comparison is the thief of all joy.
It is the thief of all joy. And I actually saw a Tumblr post the other day that was like, are you really lazy, or are you just comparing yourself to the entire creative output of the whole internet? And it's
Yeah.
like, pretty much, yeah, that's really what we're doing when we, at least for artists, when, especially since most artists feel like they aren't making enough art. Like, I think if you were to ask most artists or writers or anybody who considers themselves a creative, they're going to talk about how they wish they were doing more art. And this is exactly how art and fear begins, is like, why do artists not make art? And that's kind of what they're trying to deconstruct in the book, which is why I recommend all creatives to read it, because it is life-changing. But I want to move on to how social media affects how we create art, because this is where I think it gets interesting, since even though I do not really post anything on social media in terms of my art, that doesn't mean that it doesn't affect how I create art. And
Yeah.
how sometimes when I'm drawing, I'm thinking, you know, how would this be received by my followers? Like, how many likes would this get? And back when I was posting more frequently, that did influence what I was drawing and what I was painting. And I think this probably applies more to artists that have larger followings, who need to keep up with their followers. Otherwise, they lose probably their source of income and, you know, an audience that they've worked really hard to build.
Yeah. I actually, tangentially, I read an article like last week about how social media has changed film, and how it's kind of ruined some reproduction of like the screen size that we consume on has changed, but obviously you can't change the dimensions at which older things were filmed. And so rather than them getting like properly resized, we just repost them all cropped weird and lose like out of the frame like necessities or Easter eggs.
Yeah.
And it's kind of making me think, like, I wonder how many artists paint on square canvases just so that they fit perfectly on their feed.
Yeah. And I actually did find like actual evidence of that. Not that I have the source to list for you guys, but just know that it is happening.
We
Artists are
trust
making
you.
they are making things that are more square, oftentimes digital, so that there's no like compression loss when you photograph like a traditional painting or drawing. And a lot of this stuff, if you were to put it in a museum or a gallery, it would look really out of place, because it's just very Instagram art. And I think you can kind of visualize, like, when I say that, what I mean, because it's usually illustrative, it's simplistic. A lot of the times it has text in it. That's
There's
like
a
a, you
lot
know,
of blank space.
yeah, something catchy,
Oh,
something that the algorithm will like. And a
yeah.
lot of the times that's not like art. Like, if you were, you know, Renoir and you had an Instagram account, you probably wouldn't be recognized by the algorithm as much, because his paintings are so impressionist. And that's
Yeah.
just not what gets recommended to people. People like things that are cute and colorful, but, you know, also minimalistic.
I just think of those horrid reproductions of like Frida Kahlo's self-portraits that have been like vectorized into like
Yes.
simple basic shapes and colors
Yeah, they
and
give her like a
so
flower
flattened.
crown.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm fucking thinking of in like the most like one tone color palette with like instead of outlines, it's like the vectorized shadows. Oh, it's like actually making my skin crawl because in my head I was like, can you imagine if Frida Kahlo had to like pair her paintings with an SEO
Oh.
phrase?
Yeah, that's that sentence really I do not
Like,
like.
you cannot SEO optimize a beautiful painting.
No, that's not what we're made for. I'm sorry. It's just not natural. It's like unnatural selection.
Literally.
So, all this to say is I view now art because of social media, the art making is more of a performance than maybe it was in the past. And this is where performance theory comes in, which I don't know a whole lot about, but I did learn a little bit. And basically, performance theory suggests that every one of us puts on a performance in our society in areas of our life that are not like actual performance in theater and stuff like that, but that it kind of bleeds into all areas of our life. And there are theorists, they have different ideas of why this is, but the one that resonated the most with me in this topic was that performances seek to reinforce and communicate our identities in society.
Oh, that's
And
Judith Butler's theory, right? Of gender performance.
Maybe there was a few other.
I did a research project on gender performance in college, and
Okay,
I did like
then, yeah.
a pretty in-depth one. And her whole theory was that we create the gender in the performance, not by what we perform, but in the fact that we are performing it at all.
Yeah, sure. Okay, Judith Butler, queen. Well, I guess non-binary queen. But because social media like brings this like heightened self-consciousness, then this performance kind of goes to another level in online environments. And I think that recently with TikTok and short-form video content that is now being, dragged into onto every other platform, whether or not those users like it or not, has turned artists into these like real TikTok making machines. And personally, there are very few that I actually can stand to watch. And they're ones that focus on the art making, like time lapses or like showing materials, or doesn't even need to be like a sped up time lapse, but just videos of people painting. But of course, those are not the ones that the algorithm likes the best. It's ones where people are posing with their paintings and making themselves a part of the art. Because a lot of artists don't really feel like video translates their art very well. And so they have to put themselves in it and they have to, turn into this little puppet. And to me, there are specific ones that I'm thinking about that, I would have to find ones that aren't people I know so that I could talk about them and not like completely out like personal people in my life. But it just, there's something about it that just does not feel authentic to me. And maybe it's just because it's like you're making this painting, but most of your content is you posing with the painting or you interacting with it somehow and turning it into not an art page, really. And this is also something that I wouldn't want to do. So maybe that's also why it makes me uncomfortable more so than somebody that doesn't see a problem with it and just sees it as
Yeah.
content to interact with.
I feel like it's true of a lot of content of like if you turn off the sound and then undo all the quick 0.3 second cuts, because that is the length of clip that
Yeah.
short form video admires is 0.3 seconds, is considered like the best length of a clip right now. You would get a video of a person walking silently around a room. Like putting an arm out and then smiling and turning their head and like stretching their arms or
Yeah.
like kicking a foot
It's just a
up,
little silly.
like doing like a little dance, like a little puppet. Like, literally in front of their painting and then like spinning a paintbrush and then like being like, let's get to it. And then like, then, but like, even when someone's sitting at an easel, like, oh my God, my brain just went, it feels like porn where like you have to like arch your back and your shoulders right while
Yeah.
you're painting, which is like posing while you paint. That is such a fucking like physically unnatural thing to do.
Yeah. No, and I
It removes
have.
all of your presentness from the art making, which is the exact thing that makes art art.
Yes. And also authenticity and not making your art for somebody else, because speaking out of experience, that doesn't work. And I don't think it has worked for any artist. And if you are consistently, painting or drawing or even writing with an audience in mind, it's like male fantasies, but it's your followers.
Yeah. You are not a woman. You are a follower inside of a woman looking through the keyhole in your own feed.
Literally. No, that's literally what I'm saying. And it's so sad because, male fantasies was like when I first heard it, I was like, I remember thinking, like, this is kind of how I feel when I draw sometimes. Like, maybe I'm drawing for the male audience, but no, it's just the audience. And I'll
The
get into it.
audience.
And I'll get into it when I talk about what artists need, because do artists need an audience? We'll get into it. We'll ask
We'll
that
get into it.
question. Okay. So now we'll talk about specific social media platforms and how they impact artists. And some of these will be ones that maybe you don't know about, but that's fine. So the first one is DeviantArt, which
Oh.
is basically defunct now.
My only association with that platform, like not my personal association, my mental association. Let me clarify before I say this. The only thing I associate that platform with is My Little Pony fan art. There, I said it. I'm sorry. There, I said it.
Okay, and as I was looking into it, I came up with the three F's that are on DeviantArt: furry, fandom, and fetish. And that's basically it.
My Little Pony is all three.
Yeah, literally. And so DeviantArt was like the OG social media for artists. And I remember being on DeviantArt as a youngster. I don't know how young. I hope not that young now, thinking about what is actually on the platform.
Realistically, it wasn't easy to find the like really mature stuff back then when it first started. It wasn't like quite as blatant as I
Yeah.
feel like it is now.
It has become mostly porn now. And this is why artists started moving off of it, because it just seemed amateur and wasn't really a place you wanted to direct people to. Oh, here's my professional work, and there's, My Little Pony dick on the first page. You don't really want to see that as like a freelancer. But yeah, so DeviantArt has lost a lot of popularity over the years, and basically nobody uses it. Oh, hello, Sasha. Sasha.
Sasha.
Sasha.
Oh, funny foot.
Speaking of portfolio social media sites, a few other ones are Dribbble, Behance, and ArtStation, which most people that aren't artists probably don't know about those because they are really only for artists, and
Yeah, never heard of them.
they do act more as a portfolio and not really something to interact with your audience or like really post about yourself at all. It's really just a portfolio site. And I think Behance is owned by Adobe, or maybe it's a different one, but that's just, it's really not something that you can reach people that aren't artists, which doesn't really make it a good option for people trying to, make art as a career.
So you feel
No.
like those ones aren't like, or they're just not social
They're
platforms,
not
they're
really
just
social.
portfolios.
Yeah. So like in school, I used Dribbble for design inspiration, Behance for illustration inspiration, ArtStation I tried and it was kind of dead. So it's really, they're just kind of, I put them there because they are platforms that artists use, but they're not platforms that anybody else uses. So really, like, what's the point of them
But
when
do you feel like they could be functionally like good as community platforms, like for artists to have community amongst each other without competition because there's not like a an audience, like big A audience?
I think ArtStation is probably the one that's closest to it, and it's the one that's used the least. Dribbble and Behance are really portfolio driven, and they're also like job postings kind of built into
Got
those
it.
platforms.
So
ArtStation,
it's
I
like
think,
LinkedIn
is
for artists.
basically, and ArtStation is kind of trying to be an Instagram for art. It's just kind of balancing. Do we want a platform that's just for artists, or do we want a platform for everyone where artists are on there to reach as many people as possible? That's kind of the question, really. And so the big ones are Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram. Twitter, maybe less so now since it's not even Twitter anymore. And I was on Art Twitter, and I actually did make a few sales when I was on Art Twitter. But what I've noticed is that it is like good for community, but not so much for sharing art since it's not an image platform. It's like words. But I have noticed a lot of artists like do like post pretty regularly on Twitter, maybe less so now. And I don't think Threads is new enough to really gain any insight from that.
No. The thing that sucks about, that is like the exact thing that sucks about Twitter going down the drain is that it really was such a valuable community communication platform. Like, even still, in terms of like the activism space, like different activism spaces, it is like a main form of communication from like people experiencing things like on the ground to the whole world. So it just really sucks that that platform got ruined because, I mean, we always knew Twitter was a hellscape, but I think it took it getting ruined to realize that it actually had some really good parts of it.
And art is a small part of that because also like journalists used Twitter a lot, and now it's kind of like it was a place to get like real-time news, and that's not really happening anymore. And I don't know about Threads. Like I haven't really
It's
been on Threads.
like barely worth talking about. It no one uses it.
Fair enough.
And because it's linked to Instagram, it's a text-based platform, but it's still part of the photo platform. So like it really doesn't count, in my opinion.
We'll see. Maybe it'll pick up, but I don't know. Don't have much
Well,
hope.
the guy who founded Twitter just started a new platform. Well, not just started it. He started it like a year or so ago called Blue Sky, which like it literally looks like Twitter because he founded Twitter. And they just went public today. And I think I read something like 800,000 users as of today. But I don't know. It probably won't take off. They get a big surge. They get a viral moment in like a month, the platform will be dead, but we'll see.
And next one is TikTok because TikTok is unfortunately very relevant. And it is what made short form video content the most important form of content on the internet right now. And then, other platforms began to incorporate that in reels and shorts and shorts and whatever else they're
Oh
calling
my
it now.
God. We never, sorry, quick 30 second aside. We should have brought up in chit chat sometime. This would have been the one. Tumblr Live is dead.
Oh, yes.
Tumblr Live is
We
gone. Their
rejoice.
contract ended on January 24th, and the app is back to what it was always supposed to be, which is
We
no
and we
video.
rejoice.
And we rejoice. Anyway, back to TikTok.
Back to TikTok, unfortunately. That's all I had to say about TikTok because
Is that it
I
ruined the
don't watch
content
artists.
space with videos that are less than 10 seconds long because people want to digest content, not information, not art, not ideas, content in a span of time that they don't have to actually ingest anything, and that when they scroll past it, it can leave their brain immediately.
Yeah. And I know that some artists have really found a good audience on TikTok and they've been able to make a lot of money on TikTok, but that is not the majority. I think the majority of people get like 100 some views and never get anything that goes viral, never get any sales because TikTok is really picky and random.
It's also like that algorithm always favors white people. So
Yeah.
it's always gonna like boost up artists or like budding artists or like people who are not really like skilled artists as long as they are white and traditionally European attractive.
Yeah, and skinny and all that
Oh
stuff.
yeah, the skinny bitches who can make something that looks somewhat similar to a photograph, they've got it made on that platform.
Yeah, and special shout out to those ugly like art trends that like appear every so often on TikTok. I'm thinking of like the ones where people were painting like they were just like sitting on a canvas with like paint on their ass. You know
Oh
what I'm
my
talking
God,
about.
those were so
You know
stupid.
what I'm talking about though?
Yes. It was like their handprints and their ass cheeks.
Yeah.
And it was a glow in the dark paint on a black canvas.
Yeah. I also like I see often mostly on Pinterest since I'm not really on TikTok, but TikToks get posted on Pinterest and it's like these DIY home decor paintings and personally I find them all to be ugly as fuck. That's my
They're just
opinion. They're also all,
boring.
they are boring. They are very boring. Or it's like,
I hate home minimalism.
I know. I'm just, and it's just beige. It's all beige. It's beige.
It's like they
Anyway.
make the fake, the like instant concrete, and then they like scrape it on a canvas in
Yes.
an arch because the arch is the shape of the late 2010s and
I
early
know that was the
2020s.
exact one that was in my head too.
Like,
Because
yes.
I'll look up like interior design inspiration and I'll see that and I'm like, fuck this.
Or
This
it's
isn't
the
real. Like,
two white canvases with a black squiggle that goes from one to the other, and they're set about 6 inches apart.
yes.
We've all seen them. We don't need to see them again.
No.
The
And
worst is when
they're going
I
to end up
search.
at thrift stores in a few years as well.
Oh my God, you're so right. And Goodwill's gonna be like $7? And I'll be like, no, no.
God, we're in the bad place.
We're in the
That's enough about TikTok. Onto Instagram, which is, oh God, Instagram. Oh, Instagram. So I feel like Instagram we should probably talk about the most simply because it is the platform that artists use the most,
Yeah.
specifically to get sales. And this is the kind of the general consensus that I picked up on as I was looking into this is that even though most artists hate Instagram, they view it as a necessary evil that they need to try to figure out. It is part of their business, and you just have to figure out how it works, and that there's really no other option. And everybody's kind of waiting for another option to come up, but there really isn't one. And it is
Everybody
really
back to
sad.
Tumblr.
And now, like, I don't really know like when these changes started to be made, but recently people have been struggling more with being censored, with being shadow banned, with their posts just like not being shown to their followers, probably because of the new algorithm that shows you mostly recommended posts now.
Yeah.
And
Having followers like literally means nothing on that platform
yeah.
anymore.
And art accounts are struggling more and more to be seen because of this. Also, ads are like really big. Ads are con as because I have a business account on Instagram, ads are constantly being recommended to me. Like it'll just show me my own post, be like, boost this. You'll get like 50% more engagement
Same.
and this much more like views and all this stuff. And they are expensive and they're not something that really makes a difference unless this is your business that you're really focusing on, and everybody else just kind of gets left behind. And then reels are the big thing that artists have been complaining about because most artists, like at least visual artists, don't feel like their work really translates into reels very well. And then this other problem that I couldn't actually find anything on, but I've noticed it a lot being on Instagram as an artist, are these accounts that they show themselves as a professional artist that doesn't have a day job. They completely make money off their art. Then they also have these classes that are like how to grow your art business, how to work Instagram, like how to, figure out the algorithm. And they're all fucking scams, every single one of them. And it's also false advertising because it's, telling people this is how, I make money off of my art business on Instagram. But they don't actually talk about how much money they're making from these courses that are like, $250 a pop and are really just like a few, Google Sheets and some like really poorly designed flyers. And that's
This
it.
is the new era of quote unquote entrepreneurship, is sell your knowledge about hacking social media algorithms to someone who is desperate to make social media work for them, and then give them information that you aggregated from other people's content for free for like a fuck ton of money, like you're explaining, and then just and like promise them that it'll change their life and it won't.
And also the algorithm will change again in a couple months. So who's really benefiting from this? And it's not the people that are paying for the program. So that's Instagram. I think that it is a necessary evil at this point. I really hope something new comes up. Moving on to Tumblr, the whole reason for our podcast existing. In my opinion, I actually think Tumblr would work really well for artists if it didn't fuck up so bad when it banned porn. Just because
It
it's.
always comes back to
I know
this.
it always comes back to the banning of porn. They really did not know what they were in for when they did that.
And yet, the porn bots are getting
Yeah,
worse.
it does not seem like they banned porn.
No, and like I've been wanting to send you some of the like recommended posts I'm getting, but like obviously I don't want to send you like naked images of
Porn.
someone, but like the phrases, like I'm sure you've seen them, the posts where it's like it's a link to I don't even know what, but it's a naked photo of someone, probably not the actual person, and then it's just got two words over the image, but like they say funny shit.
Yeah,
Like to
I know
me
what you're talking
it
about.
looks like a shit post when it says blowjob on table or slap ass.
Yeah, that's,
It looks like a shit
actually,
post.
they are artists and they're thriving.
They are the art that the platform was made for.
Yeah.
It's literally, though, it's like they just tag them random shit. So they show up in every single tag I follow, like
Yeah.
no matter what it is. If it's the Raven Cycle, like the most recent one, I just looked in my tags and it says, squeeze my big tits. And I'm like, this looks like a shit post.
Yeah. No, they're fucking
Squeeze is
everywhere.
spelt wrong.
I think that really, I mean, I was going to say the problem with Tumblr is, but then I would go on and on and on.
That'd be a
But they
whole episode of
really,
its own.
yeah, they really just need some content moderation. They just need some. I don't think they have any.
Yeah. But they fucked up when they took away the one spot that all their artists could post mature content that wasn't DeviantArt.
But I do follow some artists on Tumblr that are still on there. And the reason why I think it works really well is because it can work as a portfolio site, which some of them do. It is an actual website that you can, build a theme for. I know not many people that are on now still have themes. I still have my theme. I still have the HTML and CSS, like, and that is something that is unique to Tumblr that like
That is
Instagram
true.
doesn't have that feature. Also, there is interaction with a community. You know, there's an ask box, and you can also, you know, comment on other people's posts. You can reblog other people's art. And I wish that there were more people on Tumblr so that posting there would actually mean something.
Yeah.
I do think that there are some people that get sales through Tumblr, but it's usually by posting their Etsy links or their, you know, it's like Shopify links or something like that.
Yeah. It is interesting. I've never, well, I'm sure I have thought about it in the past, but it's interesting that it's, I would say, the only social platform that is like truly social where you can fully customize your profile page.
I wouldn't say anything is really like that, even though now they are not really pushing the
The web.
theme.
Yeah.
Yeah,
They have
they're
just like the
focusing more on
template.
mobile.
Yeah. And even when I'm on my laptop, if you click my blog, it shows you the mobile layout with like the header and the icon.
I really hope they never get rid of the
The full web pages.
I know that some people were concerned that they were going to be getting rid of it, but now that they've really lost like all funding,
It's
hopefully
like, why would
nothing
they?
changes.
It's like also inherently because it's a blogging platform, I think you have to have. As long
You
as
would
the
think.
usernames, well, as long as they remain URLs, I guess if they ever decided to take away the individual landing pages, they would just be usernames. That'd suck. It wouldn't be a
Okay,
blogging platform
knock
anymore.
on
Okay, let's
wood.
not. Okay, yeah.
We need to not bring this into the universe.
No, 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 no. Okay, art.
Art. Okay, moving on to the art establishment. So, one thing that the book Art and Fear talks about is that art making has existed long before the art establishment existed. And there's this whole section where they talk about cavemen paintings. And that when they were painting, they did not see themselves as artists. They probably didn't even think of themselves as a self. You know, it was
Damn,
completely,
what I
I
would
know, right?
give.
I wish I was Grug right now. Because the art establishment unfortunately does exist now, and it has for quite a while, but social media, of course, is affecting how we interact with art and how we think about art as a concept. And the book goes into this whole metaphor about how we associate art with art as a concept and not art making, which you can tell on social media. What?
I'm
You
making
started
a
thinking
face.
about Grug.
No, I was thinking about the whole concept of the real versus the symbolic. Like, it's honestly a stupidly like intense philosophical theory that I learned about on an episode of Benchtopia. But it was like social media has turned everything into the symbolic instead of the real. And like when you go to see a painting in a museum, you are connecting with the real, like the physical, emotional experience that the artist turned into a thing. But like when you see a photo on social media, you're seeing a reproduction of that that strips it of all of the like real presentness of it.
And that actually ties in with what I'm about to say. So in this book, they talk about how art making is not really associated with art. And if we try to apply this to like anything else, it starts to fall apart. So the metaphor they used was chess. So if we thought about chess as the idea of chess, what does chess mean? Then playing chess would be extremely difficult and it wouldn't really make sense. It would
This
be
is how
like,
I
well,
function in everyday life.
we would start to question all the moves we make. We wouldn't feel as confident. I mean, I don't know fuck all about chess, but if you apply this to really anything else, you realize that, you know, actually doing the thing is what is real. That's what matters. And that's why we think about playing chess and not chess as a concept. But we always think about art, what is art as a concept, and not what is art making.
And that's where that fucking toilet sculpture comes in.
Literally. The Fountain by Marcel
Armand.
Duchamp. I know, I love that. And I didn't even remember to bring this up. The stupid fucking TERF post that I got recommended about
We
how
can't.
modern art is stupid.
We can't get into it. We were gonna get into it. We talked about getting into it, that one and the like that post I saw that it was like, when you see modern art and you think I could do that, why is that an insult to you? But that's
Yeah,
it's
too
discourse
much.
that is too far away from the too
Yeah.
close and too far.
No, I was looking through my notes from postmodernism and after, and I was like, you know, I can't really get into any of this because postmodernism, which is the movement after modernism, and it's around like started, I would say, around the 60s up until the 90s. And the whole question was really, what is art? And, you know, I don't like postmodernism, but it is a valid question. Although I think social media tells us truths about art that I don't necessarily agree with. And I'd like to hear the truths that you think social media tells us about art, but I'll go with mine first. So I have four. One is that art is made by extraordinary and talented people to whom art making comes easily. Because if you think about the artists that have the most followers on Instagram, they never post any sort of struggle. They just have their art that all looks amazing, and that's it. And you just kind of think, oh, this person is perfect and so far beyond my talent. Second is that the most important part of art is the final product. And this is something that I've really tried to deconstruct for myself as an artist because I think process is the most important part of art for me because the final product happens in a split second. And then after that, it is so much less satisfying if you really rely on that one moment. So, like, relying on the process is going to like set you up for so much more success in the future. And also just more contentment with yourself as an artist, because especially since most of us, you know, start a lot of art that we don't end up finishing, if we only think about the final product, then we're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah, if the goal is the doing, then
Yeah.
there's no failure.
Yeah. So third is that an artist's work must fit a brand and cater to their audience. And then I have it in parentheses, fuck the shareholders. Because I kept
Yeah,
thinking,
fuck
I'm
them.
like, I kept thinking, like, if we think about a brand, then we're thinking about a public company that is controlled by shareholders. And I mean, we're not going to get into all that. But when you start to think about it like that, you're like, yeah, fuck the shareholders. Like, I'm going to make my quote unquote brand what I want it to be and not controlled by outside influence.
Well, yeah. And then the whole other rabbit hole of that is that social media encourages all people, not just artists, to brandify themselves, in which
Yeah.
everyone around you is a shareholder in your personal value.
Yeah. And it's even
Damn,
more
that was
so.
deep.
Yeah. And like, that was the thing that, like, when I was looking into this, I didn't even have to look into how social media affects artists specifically, because it's affecting all of us like this. It's just that artists are using social media for their livelihood and to try to become career artists. Most of them are trying to make money that way. So it's actually like, yeah, you do have to have a brand, but now you have to sacrifice your actual ideals as an artist for this brand. And then my last truth is that failure is bad and good artists don't fail, which is
Damn, there
probably
is.
what really takes the cake for the one that's the worst for us as artists, because you really can't escape failure. You just can't. And the truth is that all these artists that are posting every day, we don't see what they aren't posting. And the truth is that they're probably just posting their best work. So, and that's going to be true for everybody. Nobody's posting their worst selfies, you know, nobody's posting their photos with the worst lighting. And
No, and even the
none of
people
us
who
are
say
expecting.
like that they've posted like the dump style photo or
Yeah,
like
no.
the messy style photos. Like they are so carefully curated.
Yeah.
Yeah, when
So I don't know if
you're
you can think of any other truths that social media tells us, but those I think it sums up pretty well.
I think something that I don't know if it's a direct result of social media, but feels like it might be to me, is that I feel like social media teaches us that people have talent when they're an artist, not skill, that
Yeah.
they're born inherently good at art. And even when you watch those videos where people show, like, my art from 15 years old versus my art now at 23, you know,
Yeah.
8 years of progress. And it's like the first drawings were never that bad. You know, they
Yeah.
were like, and it's always photorealistic. It starts as people who are like photorealism artists or like in high school, you know, drawing portraits, and they never start bad. And so all of the interactions are like, well, I was never as good as you were when you were 15. So you're talented. I
Yeah.
think social media scrapes away a lot of, again, the process of like the skill that goes into art, because when you condense the making of a piece of art into a 10-second video, it cannot contain the years or the months of skill building, of trial and error, of research, of like soul searching that goes
Yeah.
into making like a genuine, impactful piece of art. None of that can be conveyed through video. So I feel like social media teaches us that people have talent, not skill.
Yeah. And I think that is also exacerbated by the people that do actually go viral with those videos are the ones that have the most skill. Somebody's not going to go viral if they actually hadn't made that much progress in the past 10 years, which is the case for a lot of people. And this is also this isn't something that social media caused, but we have for a very long time associated art with skill. And that's something that only postmodernism started to deconstruct, that art actually isn't about
Interesting.
skill, it's about the concept. And actually, is it even about the concept? Can we deconstruct it even further? And now it's like nobody really knows what the fuck art is, and we're kind of past that point.
And then you get into that debate where like you take a high school class to a modern art gallery and they go, well, I could have done this, so it doesn't mean anything. And then you have to
Yeah.
get into like the why. Well, it means something, and like you have to look beyond what it looks like. And like, I
Yeah.
always, when I get into that with people and they're like, well, anybody could have done this. And I'm like, but if you read the plaque on the wall, the actually interesting part of this piece of art is how it was made or
Yeah.
like why it was made. And social media strips that away too, is that
Yeah.
I think maybe perhaps a truth that social media teaches us that maybe the American education system also teaches us is that art can be a thing. Art is a thing that is looked at, not experienced.
And also that art is for this elite group of people, and it's not something that everybody does. Because, I mean, this is something that's gone around a lot on Tumblr, is that anybody could be an artist, and it doesn't really matter how good it is. It really doesn't. And we're really, I think most of social media especially is really behind on that. But I don't know if there's a way to make people like ugly art. That's just not really how it works. But if maybe we weren't so online and we actually went to museums and read the plaques, maybe then we'd start to think more about art as a concept and not just something that can be interacted with
Yeah,
and
something that can be consumed.
yes, as content.
Yeah,
Because you
content
really, if you,
consumption, will be the death of us all.
yeah, I mean, I
It
can
already
imagine
is.
going to a like when you go to a museum, it's a incredibly different experience than scrolling through your feed on the art tag, because it's you have to do it slowly. You can't run through the museum to see
You
everything in
can, but
30
people look like freaks when they
seconds.
do that.
Yeah. Like,
I
don't you
take
want to sit and
note.
stand there?
I literally when this is going to be the most pretentious sentence, but when I went to Germany over the summer and we went to a different museum like every 2 days, and I was seeing like art that's like hundreds of years old, made by some of like the most renowned fine artists in all of history. Well, maybe I shouldn't say that. Some of the best European artists in history. You're like, there are people like walking around, kind of milling at like a fast pace, like looking at each of them, but not like feeling them. Like, I don't know. I am overcome with such emotion when I see a
Because
painting
it's
that I connect
real.
with, or a sculpture that I connect with, or a photograph that I connect with, or anything, right? Because, right, it's like you, the artist, amaze me because you captured something of humanity in a physical thing that I can like stand in front of, and it communicates something that I can't explain. And like, it's just, it breaks my heart when people tell me they don't like art, or that they don't get art, or that like they find it boring or something, because I think that is a product of the way that social media has sold us art, like, is that it's no longer a rarity. You know, like good art isn't, I
Is
want to say like
everywhere.
isn't hard to come by. Like, and that's not a bad thing inherently, that like there is more well done or quote unquote good art accessible to our viewing than ever. But like the amount of really layered and thought through and meaningful art maybe feels more sparse, you know?
At least when you compare it to how much we see on the
Yes.
regular,
It's
especially
like,
somebody that follows a lot of artists,
yeah.
it's you
You
start to
become
become
numb to
these,
it.
yeah, you be like, it just starts to blend in with all the other posts that you're going through. Like, it's a selfie, then it's an engagement, then it's a baby, then it's
Yeah.
a painting, and then it's a baby, and then it's an engagement over
Even
and over
with
again.
fan art, like I scroll through Tumblr and I reblog like a shit ton of fan art, and every now and then I like stop and I'm like, this is really fucking good. Like, you spent time, and especially when it's of like fictional characters to which there is no actual like real life photo reference to like say, like, yes, this is correct to what they like with a TV show. It's like, yes, that looks like the actor who plays them. That is an accurate representation of the character that we know. When it's a fictional character where there's no on-screen adaptation, and like I look at it and I'm like, holy shit, you made an image of the person that I saw in my head from the words on a page. It's like, it's such, it's the joy of creation. And I don't stop to appreciate fan art enough in that way of like, you spent time on this for a thing that we both love, and you do a really fucking good job.
We need a fan art museum.
Oh my
We need
God.
one.
If we ever had an ex Tumblr Girls pop-up event, it would be the fan art museum.
Write that
We need to make this
down.
happen. Wait, we have to make this happen.
I think we can.
That's our
I think
5-year
our,
plan.
yeah. So the last thing I want to talk about is like, what do artists actually want and need, not just out of social media, but in general? And one thing that the book talks about is what they call a destination, which is really. It can mean a lot of things, but they describe it as a reason to make art, a goal, where you want your art to take you, really anything that kind of goes along those lines. And they also talk about this phenomenon among art major graduates, where a large percentage of them stop making art after graduation once that destination is no longer there, like a critique. And there's this quote from the book. Not many people continue making art when abruptly their work is no longer seen, no longer exhibited, no longer commented upon, no longer encouraged. Could you? Perhaps then, if the outside world shows little interest in providing that support, it remains for artists themselves to do so.
And that's why they want the audience, capital A.
Yes. Which is, I think that that's like, okay. And for a long time, I thought, oh, it's bad that I care so much about the likes and that I care so much about how many sales I'm getting or how many people are interacting with this. But when I think about the actual support I get from society, it's very, very, very little about like art in general, because our society just really doesn't support art and
No.
artists. Like there used to be institutions that gave art a reason to exist, like the church and patrons, and that just doesn't really exist anymore. And so even though a destination is kind of this like loose concept, I think it's like it's just shows that there's a lot of different ways this can be fulfilled for artists. And then other things that I feel like artists need, based on what I've seen like discourse about online, is money. They need to be able to make a living. And a lot of the times,
Crazy.
if you have like a lot of artists do have a day job and then, make art as a side gig. Some people are hobby artists, but it's really hard to make art when you are struggling to get by. And I mean, I can speak to this because I'm unemployed right now and it's really hard for me to make art. I'm trying, but it's an active effort that I have to make every day to like really shut off the mind that is like thinking about my bills and making rent and all of that stuff to focus on art. And it is hard, and there are people out there that are way worse off than me and still making art. Like, even though art will prevail, but also we need to get groceries and have a place to live.
I mean, people, there's like two, I feel like belief structures, and that like people are like artists suffer and like the good art comes out of the suffering. And then
No.
there's Virginia Woolf, who wrote A Room of One's Own and was like, if you as a woman want to be a writer, you need a room to write in and money to buy food with, because otherwise you will never be able to focus on your writing.
Yeah. No, that's so true. And then the last point is really that artists need opportunities. So something that used to be really common, or maybe not common, but I'll start that sentence over. So artists used to rely way more on in-person opportunities like galleries, studio visits, interact, like doing like in-person networking. And now that's kind of been just replaced by social media as a way to get all of that. And not saying that, social media isn't a place for opportunities, but it shouldn't be the only avenue to get those opportunities. And it's also a form of community that way too, because, I didn't, I, this is kind of tied into a destination, but like a community is kind of a part of that as well. And, support, encouragement from society, but real people in your life are gonna have so much more of an impact than your followers and, other people that you follow that are not real people you're ever going to interact with.
Yeah, I saw a Tumblr post recently that was sort of about this idea of like the artist opportunity, which was, it was also about capitalism, but when is it not? But it was just saying that like in old times, like talking ancient Egyptian times, the artisan class, no, I guess it's just talking anytime like pre-industrial revolution, there was an artisan class that was a working class of people who were skilled craftspeople, and that was their job. Like they could make a full living off being someone who made vases, off someone who made a certain type of furniture, someone who made rugs, someone who made paintings for rich people's houses. But even like in terms of like predating Christianity times in like Egypt, people who painted the inside of the pharaoh's tomb, that was a job that they did their whole life, was paint the hieroglyphs on the inside of a tomb. And because of manufacturing, those types of skilled crafts aren't seen as useful or like necessary anymore. And it really, it killed like so many creative professions where people were making beautiful things and expressing themselves and making art that was functional, but now art is no longer considered functional.
And that means that there's less art being made, which,
Yeah.
you might think isn't true with how much we're seeing, but
But
with the big picture, something that the book talks about, I'm going to keep bringing it up. But they talk about how postmodern art is post-audience art because there is no direct audience that, because it's no longer something that's useful. It just is something that people make for nobody. You really make it for yourself. It's this thing that's super meaningful. That was it's ver a relatively new concept that art has meaning, like a personal meaning and connection to the artist.
Yeah.
And I'll end my all of my commentary with one quote from the book that says, "Making art now means working in the face of uncertainty. It means living with doubt and contradiction, doing something no one much cares whether you do, and for which there may neither be audience nor reward." But even though that's kind of a, like, what's the word? I
Downer.
want to say, yeah, it's kind of a downer. But I think that there's something about that that can be inspiring, that really, as an artist, the only person you could really rely on to make your art is yourself. And it takes a long time to find that voice as an artist, but once you do, like, there's no greater power than that. Like, you can't find that anywhere else. But even though social media has its obvious flaws, I think that really the problem lies with how we think about art and artists in general, and that if we were to approach social media as artists in a more authentic way, we might not get the engagement that we want, but being authentic to your own, like, artistic voice, you will make art that other people love. Like, that just ends up being how it works.
Yeah, engagement, the word engagement, digital engagement will always be like a false narrative of how many people genuinely appreciate what you do. And like, I always try to think of it with the pod when like I look at our listener numbers and sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish more people listen to the pod. And then I try to picture a room full of the number of people listening to each episode. And I'm like, if we hosted like a show and that many people showed up, I'd be like, holy shit. I'd be like, this is so cool that many people care enough to be here. So I think that's the only way to make quote unquote engagement feel meaningful is to like try to picture what it would equal in real life, which of course social media is the antithesis of. But that is the only way to make that reach feel meaningful is like, oh, someone across the world saw my art in a way that would never have been possible before and connected to it. And that one moment of connection is worth everything, even though I wish that paid people's bills better.
Yeah, so true. Like, I posted art on Tumblr before, and even though it didn't get as many notes as I wanted to, like, when I think about it, it's like, 200 people is still a lot of people. It may
And
not
the
be
tags
like,
on that post are so loving.
I know. And like, I do, of course, I always, want more engagement with my art. And I think that that's, as we said, that's natural and it's okay. I think that it's just not something you can rely on. You gotta really think about what art means to you and, what you can, like, how you can rely on yourself to, like, get through the algorithm. I never want to say
Yeah.
algorithm again after Shanae.
And we're gonna say it so many times
I
on this
know.
podcast.
Fuck the shareholders, fuck the
Fuck
algorithm.
the shareholders. And everyone say thank you, Carly, for this very thoughtful and well-prepared
Yeah.
episode.
Thank you. I hope that it resonated with some of you.
I love hearing my best friend talk about something she's passionate about. Truly my favorite
Yeah.
pastime.
It's so funny because I was talking to my therapist about doing this episode, and she's like, we can talk about art sometimes if you want. I'm like, all right, I'm coming with a reading list. Like, you better come prepared.
I have done that in therapy where I've spent entire sessions talking about poetry, especially when I was in college, and I was like, oh, this makes me feel better. Like
Yeah.
sometimes it genuinely does, is like talking
Talking about
about,
something you're passionate about,
right. And
crazy.
like also when my therapist is like, wow, I would have never known that. You know so much about this topic. And I don't think a lot of people know that thing. And I'm like, oh my fucking God. And then my God complex goes through the roof.
Yeah.
And like, that's a different
Which
therapy
is the real
topic.
reason why we go to
Yeah,
therapy.
period. But like, talking about things that you care about, it's very good for the soul. I think it is an art form of its own. I dare say podcasting is an art form.
I dare say the same.
I dare say this is our grad school.
Yeah.
Unsupervised, no formal research, no peer reviewing, just us talking about
Yeah.
whatever we want. And that is education, ladies
Yeah,
and
because
gentlemen.
God knows I am never, ever, ever going back to school.
My mom asked me this weekend when I'm going to grad school, and I was like, I don't know.
When? Wow. That's bold. That's really bold. I think my mom is praying I don't want to go to do more school. I'm not taking any more loans out. Sorry.
No. It's just gonna be us and these podcast mics, baby.
Thank you so much for listening. We are so excited to have you here and hope you tune in again next time. Meanwhile, you can follow us on social media. Our Instagram is at xtumblrgirlspod. And we, of course, have a Tumblr. You can find us there at xpodcastgirls.tumblr.com. And we kindly ask that if you're enjoying the pod to give us a rate or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It helps us connect with the rest of the world's ex-Tumblr girls. Come join, be our bestie, and we will see you soon. Bye.
Bye.